You're listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast. Our mission is to help the people of God understand the Word of God. Join us each Monday and Thursday for new episode releases. Listen to our full library of content at teachmethebible.com or by downloading the Teach Me the Bible app from any app store. You're listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to our Genesis series. Today we're picking up in chapter 16, and we're going to include chapter 17 in there with us. We're going to cover a lot of ground today. Just a reminder, we're kind of, as we said towards the end of last week, the Lord has promised that the seed will come forth from Abraham's own body. And so we're kind of turning to that. Abraham's going to interpret that differently. He's like, okay, I'm going to have seed from my own body, but he's not going to do it with his one flesh wife. And so we're going to watch that kind of scene, that scene play out with Sarah and Hagar. And so if you want to kind of take it away, tell us the story.
And so this is, we're going to be introduced to one of the sons. His name's going to be Ishmael. And then another son is going to be born to Abraham. Mm-hmm. His name's going to be changed here, during this session. And that son's name is going to be Isaac, and there's going to be enmity between Abraham and Isaac. There's going to be tension between these two, just like Cain and Abel.
And Ishmael and Isaac.
Ishmael and Isaac. And there's going to be, just like there was with Cain and Abel, just like there will be with Jacob and Esau, mm-hmm. right? And so mm-hmm. so we're kind of seeing this, this, you know, template, so to speak, develop. Mm-hmm. But we'll pick it up in chapter 16, verse 1. And again, this is another interruption in the story. Now, Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne to him no children, and she had an Egyptian handmaid, a maiden whose name was Hagar, right? And so right away, you ought to be, red flags ought to be going off mm-hmm. in the reader that this is a one from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, and you know, Egypt is down there in the, you know, on the line of Ham, the Ham, the cursed line, and so that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And Sarah said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go into my maid; perhaps I shall obtain children through her." You're going to see this show up later in the Jacob stories as well. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. Oh, that ought to yeah. ring some bells as well, right? That we've been down this trail, and it's not. I always joke, say, "Look, so the application is don't listen to the voice of your wife." Say, "Well, no, that's not the application is listen to the voice of the Lord, and the voice of the Lord is one shall come forth from
right.
from your body." And mm-hmm. and so so Sarah says, "Well, you know, let's do this in a different way." And after Abram lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, so it's 10 more years, right, mm-hmm. in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarah took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but she has, when she saw that she conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between me and between you." And Abram said to Sarah, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your eyes." Hmm. And again, another red flag, you know, doing what's good in your eyes. So Sarah treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. The angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, and said Hagar, and he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" She says, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarah." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress, submit to her. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your seed so that you will become too mighty to count." And so, you know, the nations, this, mm-hmm. you know, there's going to be this seed, this Ishmael seed that's going to be multiplied as well. And the angel said to her further, "Behold, you have conceived, Harat conceived, and you will bring forth a son. This is what's been looked for all the way through. Mm-hmm. Conceive and bring forth a son. Conceive and you shall call his name Ishmael. Which is, God hears because the Lord has given heed or has heard your affliction. And he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will against everyone. Everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of his brothers. So he called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are my God who sees. Have I remained alive here after seeing him? And so the place is called, it's the well of the living one who sees, something like that is the name of the place. And so Hagar has a son, and she named him Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. Mm-hmm. Now Abram was 99 years old when the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Lord God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and between you. What does that mean? Walk before me and be blameless. This is language that we have seen back with Noah. Mm-hmm. But, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his day. Noah walked with God. Mm-hmm. Enoch. You need to walk according to the word of the mm-hmm. Lord, right? Well, what would it be to walk according to the word of the Lord? I tell you what, it's not. It's not,
Hagar and
Ishmael. It's not Hagar and Ishmael. Yeah. That's not what it looks like. It's and that's going to become clear in this scene that, walk before me and be blameless is, the 2:24 wife is it. And I shall establish my covenant between me and between you, and I will multiply you exceedingly, right? So in other words, the Ishmael thing didn't work. That's not it. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of a multitude of nations. So longer shall your name be called Avram, which is exalted father, but your name shall be called Avraham, father of many peoples, father of many nations. No longer shall you be called Abram, but Abraham, and I will make you a father of a multitude of nations, and you will be exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations from you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and between your seed after you throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your seed after you. It's not even, recognizing Ishmael over there on the side. And I will give to you and to your seed after you the land of all of your dwelling, all of your sojourning, all of the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. And God said to Abram further, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant and your seed after you throughout the generations. This is my covenant between you and between your seed after you. Every male is among you is to be circumcised, and explains the how circumcision works. And if a man is not circumcised, then he shall he has broken the covenant. He will be cut off from his people. Mm. That's verse 14. And so the rest, he said, and then God said to Abram, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall call her name Sarah, which is Sar is like chief or prince, and so Sarah would be like princess. So you shall call her princess. And I will bless her, and I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations, kings of peoples. And Abram fell on his face and laughed and said, really? Will a child be born to a woman who's 99 years old? The rest of the chapter, Abraham now is negotiating on behalf of the wrong kid.
Yeah.
Right? Well, no. Lord, look, I know you're God and all, but you don't understand. Mm-hmm. Right? May Ishmael live before you. No.
That's going to be a pattern too for the other
absolutely.
Two kids. Isaac and Jacob are both going to do the same thing.
They're going to plead the case of the wrong kid, right?
Right.
But Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name. He laughed, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his seed after him. And of course, this is tracking the Genesis 3:15, 3:16. You're wife will conceive and bring forth a son, and you will call his name, he laughs, and it'll be an everlasting covenant. And you know, as for Ishmael, I've heard you. You know, so he's negotiating on behalf of, I'll bless him. I'll make him fruitful. I'll multiply him. He shall become a father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this time. When he has finished talking with him, God went up from Abram. Then Abram took Ishmael, his son, and all that were in his house, and he circumcises them. And Abram was 99 years old when he circumcised the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he circumcised the flesh of his foreskin. And the very same day, Abram circumcised Ishmael, his son. He's circumcising Ishmael. He's circumcising Ishmael. He's circumcising Ishmael. He's pleading the case for Ishmael. He wants Ishmael. You know, it's like the Lord saying, Isaac, but there's Ishmael. No, Abraham, or Isaac. How about Ishmael? I said Isaac. Ishmael would be good. How about Ishmael? Ishmael. Let's do Ishmael, right? And it's all That's in this good. Construction of this disjunctive clause. Yeah. And you're like, he's just pleading the wrong case. And so they're all circumcised. And the Lord appeared to him. This is chapter 18, the Oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting in the tent door. In the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw, he ran to the tent door and met them and bowed to the earth and said, Lord, if it is pleasing in your eyes, do not pass by your servant. But let me bring a little water, wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And he brought a piece of bread, and they may refresh yourself. And so he goes and he prepares three measures of fine flour. Made bread cakes. This is the grain offering. This word that's used here is the word that's going to be used for the grain offering that's going to show up in Leviticus, right? So what Abram is doing by faith, the nation is to continue to do by faith. Later in the story. And so he goes and he prepares the meal and then they said, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" This is verse 9. He said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah was living at the door. And now Sarah, Abram and Sarah were old and advanced in years, and Sarah was past childbearing. And so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also?" Apparently, Abraham didn't tell Sarah. You know,
what the Lord said,
What happened back in chapter 17. I will make my covenant with Isaac, and whom Sarah will bear to you at this time next year. And apparently Abraham didn't communicate this to Sarah, his wife. So she laughs and the response is, "Shall I indeed bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." And Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I didn't laugh," for she was afraid. But he said, "No, you laughed," right? So chapter 18, and this is, kind of down through verse 15, is this whole, by the time next year, you're going to have a kid, right? Want to introduce the second half of chapter 18 and then pick it up next time.
Right.
But in chapter 18, what happens then is that you're learning more about Abraham's, how he's going to negotiate on behalf of the nation. So remember, Lot's a believer. Lot's gone down to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord, he's already rescued him back in chapter 13, chapter 14. Yeah. Here it is again. So the Lord's going to say, shall we keep from Abraham what we're about to do? And no, we probably let him in on it. So Abraham is going to negotiate on behalf of the righteous. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah if there's righteous people down there, would you? And so he's going to negotiate on behalf of the righteous. And then the two angels, the two messengers are going to go down there. And they're going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we'll pick that up next time. But On the other side of the Sodom and Gomorrah story is chapter 20, right? And so, you know, after this Sodom and Gomorrah story, this is during the year, apparently. Abram goes down, sells his wife off as his sister again, apparently has no, you know, hope in this deal. So Abram still's not getting it, not believing that the Lord's going to actually do what he said he's going to do. And then lo and behold, chapter 21, the birth of Isaac, right? And so this is really a commentary on where Abram is, Abraham is in his walk of faith. Those who say back in chapter 15, well, you know, Abraham believed God and then, you know, because before then he wasn't obedient. I'm going, well, did you read what he's doing after chapter 15, verse 6?
He's going back and forth a lot.
Yeah, he's not very obedient here either. But if you walk before me and be blameless, you know, and so he's going to have a kid and that's prophesied in chapter 17. That's going to be repeated in chapter 18. Abram is going to negotiate on behalf of the righteous. That's the correct thing to do in end of chapter 18. Chapter 19, the angels go and deliver Lot. Chapter 20, he's back to selling his wife off as his sister. Chapter 21, the kid is born. Mm-hmm. And then chapter 22, Abraham is told he has to sacrifice Isaac, his son. Mm-hmm. A substitute is provided. Chapter 22. Chapter 23, Sarah dies. Mm-hmm. So now you know that by chapter 23, that Isaac is the one carrying the promise, the only begotten child of Abraham and Sarah. He's single. Mm-hmm. Sarah's dead. Mm-hmm. He is sent to get a wife. In chapter 24. Chapter 23, Sarah dies. Chapter 24, he gets a wife. Chapter 25, Abraham gets remarried, has other kids, kicks them all out of the land, right? That's going to set up the Isaac narratives, right? So that's where we're headed in the next several weeks, but just to give a heads up. And so along with us, you can go on and read ahead and see how this promise is just tracking right along through these chapters. Mm-hmm. And that's going to help you. And that's going to get you to Isaac, mm-hmm. who has a wife,
right,
who's barren.
And on the story goes.
Yeah, and cycles, here we go again, right, in the next generation of the promise.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Well, thank you for walking us through that. Next week, we are going to pick up right there in the middle of chapter 18.
Chapter 18 and into chapter 19.
Yeah, we're going to keep expanding on the details of the story that we just kind of overviewed. So
absolutely.
We'll see you next week for that.
For more resources, visit teachmethebible.com or download our app from any app store. You can partner with Teach Me the Bible in helping the people of God understand the Word of God by subscribing and sharing with others. Thank you for listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast.